Welcome to Healing House with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is an international healer, speaker, teacher, and published author of her latest book, Frequencies. Share the next half hour with us as we journey to find balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. We then invite you to call in or log into our chat and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, hello everyone, and happy Thursday. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. And for those of you who are calling in from the Los Angeles area, the call-in number is area code 424-258-9337. And for everyone else right here in the beautiful San Francisco Bay Area, the call-in number is toll-free 877-697-9725. And as always, Producer Kana will be opening up the chat room so you can log in there. And I will be logging in, technology allowing. Occasionally my laptop acts up. But I will be logging into the chat room to answer questions. So today we're doing a bit of a follow-up on last week's topic regarding attachments. And for those of you who may not have been in with us, what it was a discussion of becoming attached to detachment. And becoming detached doesn't mean that you don't care. It doesn't mean that you don't have closeness. It just means that you remove the emotional piece that is usually the source of a lot of the pain that comes with having something in our lives that really doesn't serve us. When we create an attachment to something, then, you know, there's a hook, just like when you go fishing. You know, you can't get the fish in the boat if you don't catch it with the hook first. So there's something that catches us, something that holds us. That's where the attachment comes in. And when we are able to identify the real cause of the attachment, the real source of the attachment, then we can be able to turn the attachment into choice. And like I said, it doesn't mean that you don't care about a person. It just means that you are willing to allow them to go through what they need to go through, to be what they need to be in order to have more peace in your life. So in speaking with some folks afterwards and, you know, different people who have counseled on this subject, one of the things that really hinders releasing an attachment the most is judgment. And whether the judgment is of ourselves or of other people or of a situation, whenever we decide that approval or in most cases disapproval is justified, we fall into a trap of actually intensifying the entrapment, the attachment, rather than releasing it. And here's an example of that. Let's say if someone has a particular eating habit preventing them from being able to reach the weight they want, whether that's losing weight or gaining weight. There may be certain things that you're attached to. Maybe you're attached to theater popcorn, or maybe you're attached to chocolate or stress eating. As soon as we bring in judgment as a part of the process of trying to work with this, it does not lessen the hold that that pattern has on us. It actually intensifies it. And even if it's, whether it's ourselves, because sometimes if we're struggling with something and maybe we give in to temptation, and then there's that period afterwards where we really just hammer ourselves. Oh, boy, I really hate when I do that. I'm so weak. I have no willpower. You know, I'm stupid. I'm self-destructive. Whatever the story, it goes into that place of making yourself feel worse when you feel bad enough. And when we have people in our lives who, although they may be very well-meaning, will decide, well, what this person needs is to have me just jump on them every time they do this, to jump on them every time they give in. Oh, what are you eating that for? And you're going to be fat. And, you know, they can call names. And in their minds, they're helping. But they really aren't. Because what it is it's bringing in that judgment piece. Now, as I've always said, there's light and shadow in absolutely everything. And the aspect of judgment has a positive side. It has that self-reflection piece. It has that, wow, I prefer this over that. If somebody does something, you know, tremendously mean or inappropriate or horrible or whatever, it's okay to go, whoa, that was not all right. And in no way will it ever be all right. And until you get your stuff together, I do not want to be around you. That is a reasonable thing. You can make the choice as to whether or not something is okay or it isn't. Technically, that's judgment. The problem with judgment is that it is very easy to go into that place of, I have the right to approve or disapprove. And not only do I have the right, but you really need to hear about it, and you really need to, you know, listen to me. It is wonderful when our friends care enough about us to be willing to risk us being upset. If somebody has a very, you know, self-destructive lifestyle habit, you know, it's like, hey, you know what? You mean the world to me. And it just kills me to see you unhappy. And this particular choice leads to your unhappiness. Can I do to support you in being able to help move through this? That statement is not judgment. That statement is an honest expression of authentic caring. And it also leaves the power to the person. And they may say, it's like, you know what, I'm happy exactly the way I am, so butt out. And at that point, you've got a choice. If it's something that, you know, it's like, you know what, yes, you have your choice in this, and I will not bring it up again now that I've said what I have to say. And you could always say that based on this action, this choice, you have the freedom to do it, but I have the freedom to decide if I want to be around you while you do it. And I love you and care about you, and I will not support this. So it's best for me not to be around. That is also very empowering because it still leaves the choice to the other person. What is not empowering is, oh my gosh, you're eating that again, and why don't you, you know, don't you want to be healthier? Don't you want this? And basically trying to shame the person into a change of behavior, which really, 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 all that does is increase the stress, increase the anxiety, increase the self-judgment, which is usually what led to the behavior in the first place. In most cases, you know, behaviors that are meant to either numb you or distract you or in some way try to separate you from the emotional impact of something traumatic that has either happened or is happening, that is not going to be helped by increasing the anxiety. And I am a stress eater or upset. I will just lose all perspective. And I did that for many, many years in my life because as a child, all of my favorite, most comforting experiences were in my mother's kitchen. And I knew that no matter how bad I felt, no matter how cold I was, no matter how lonely I felt, that in my mother's kitchen, it was warm, it always smelled good, and her fried chicken was my favorite. So as I grew, I would seek out that feeling by recreating the situation that I felt it in. And the situation was I was eating. So it wasn't the food that I wanted that I realized after a lot of years and a lot of failed diet attempts was deciding, okay, identifying that I'm feeling anxious and upset, acknowledging that I have a choice as to how I handle that. And I will not judge a choice as either good or bad. It's simply a tool in the toolkit. And then I consider which tool will help me the most. Which one will allow me to feel better? Short term, going and getting some chicken. And eating that, that is a short term feeling better. But in the long term, as soon as I'm done, I judge myself, I feel bad. It's like, wow, you know, I'm really working on losing weight. So it's a short-term good choice that leads to a long-term bad reaction and bad feeling, feeling by something that does not help me, you know, be in my happy place. If it's something that creates anxiety, that creates judgment of myself, that's not a good thing. So when I'm in that situation now, the first thing I do is acknowledge that not all of me feels that way. I've talked before about the council that I have, you know, in my mind. And I am the president of the council, the collection of everything that is consciously me. But my higher self is there, my lowest self is there, my happiness, my love, my anger, my fear. And I picture these as individual aspects of myself that are all sitting around a table. Now, when I go into stress and I'm feeling anxious and I have that desire to eat, I know that, you know, my joy on my council is not feeling like it needs to do that. The loving part of myself isn't feeling like it needs to do that. My fear wants chicken. And my fear is going to trigger my anger because anger and fear like to sit next to each other. So when I tell myself, okay, fear, I understand that you're upset and you're voting that we go have some chicken. What does everybody else vote? And by using this as an exercise, by saying, okay, what does the rest of me have to say? What does that loving part of myself have to say? Well, that loving part of myself says, you know what, sweetie, Mom loved us, and we will always love her, and we will always be surrounded by the love that she has for us. You know, that was lost just because she's no longer in this world. And we feeling without eating something. We can get that feeling just by sitting here and thinking about how much she loves us. And sometimes, you know, that's just enough to be able to go, okay, because if I'm upset, something's scaring me. You know, and I just think about all the people who love me, whether they're in this world or they're not. Because by that action, I'm going after love. And there's other ways that I can get that than by doing something that I know is not going to make me feel better, you know, beyond the first moment. So taking a look at that, taking a look at what it is that is motivating the desire, what is it that's motivating the attachment? Maybe it's being attached to somebody who really isn't the right person for you. And when you have someone in your life who it's like, you know, they're this and they're that and they make me feel safe and they make me laugh and we used to have fun. Being with that person takes away from you more than it gives to you, then maybe that's not a relationship to be in. Or you can still be friends with that person, but have it in the perspective of, okay, this is not someone who I am going to say I cannot live without. It's somebody who, when they're being nice to me, great. And if they're not, they don't get to hang out with me. I was told by a friend that the number one relationship rule is be nice to me. And if that rule is not being respected by someone in your life, maybe you need to reevaluate the role that they play in your life. And if you take a look, once again, go to the council. Go to those little, you know, parts of yourself. Who is voting to stay with this person? Once again, I would bet it's not love. You know, love may be saying, look, you know, we want the best for this person. We don't wish them anything ill. And we are not made more by being around them. We're made less. And we can love them and we can still say goodbye because more than anything else, we love ourselves. It, once again, I would guess it's probably fear saying, you know, no, we need to stay with this person because maybe we won't find anybody else to be with us. That being with that person is better than being alone. So take a look at what it is that is motivating that particular attachment, that particular desire. I mean, you know, for something like chocolate, there is a physical aspect to it. There is actually a physical addiction to chocolate. And often we connect the eating of chocolate with, one, the rush that we get, because it does give us quite a little rush, and two, there may be a very happy memory and a happy attachment that goes with that. So looking at it from a body, mind, and spirit level, because you have to consider all three when you're working with figuring out whether or not something should be in your life or it should not. If someone that you know has an attachment, and it doesn't matter what the attachment is, being able to go, okay, first off, that's their work. It is not my job to change their attachment based on what I think is best for them. Because ultimately, they have to believe it's best for themselves. The idea that we can control anybody else's thoughts, instincts, or desires, it is an illusion. Most of the time, it's a full-time job keeping up with ourselves. And one of my favorite TV show quotes was from the old TV show MASH. And one of the doctors said, minding my own business is a full-time job. And in my spare time, it's my hobby. And what that means is that each one of us has a life chock full of all kinds of stuff, both good and bad, fun and not so fun. And when we focus on those things that we need to keep track of, those things that we need to manage in our own lives. You know, we all have light and shadow. You know, some of us have had very traumatic experiences. And one of the things that can happen is that we so focus on someone else's life that we set aside what we need to do. It's our way of diverting ourselves from the work that we need to do with ourselves. And there can be an attachment to taking care of everybody and everything around you. And it's not a bad attachment, but it does have a shadow piece. And that shadow aspect is if you're absorbing yourself into other people's lives and taking care of them and doing all this stuff and always being there for everyone else as a way to avoid dealing with your own stuff, then it's not a good thing. Comes really another addiction. And it is possible to be addicted to doing things for other people. It's a wonderful thing unless it's keeping you from facing your own stuff. And we all have tons of stuff. And that is an interesting piece of judgment is, well, I should be taking care of other people and I should be doing more for other people and I should be, you know, the whole altruistic good Samaritan, you know, what a wonderful person I am, and other people say I'm a wonderful person. Yes, because you're taking care of their stuff. Sometimes the best thing you can do for somebody is to say, you know what, I care for you and I will be there for you whenever I can, and there are certain times when I need to take care of me. If it's one of my days that I need to take care of me, then here's somebody else that you can check in with or call, or, you know, here's another tool you can utilize. If somebody is the answer to a problem, it's a really great thing. If they're the only answer, that's when it becomes a problem. Because we all need to have as many tools as we can possibly have in our toolkit. Because one situation may come up and the tools you normally reach for aren't working as well as they could. You don't throw away the toolkit, you just make sure you've got extra tools in it. And by being able to release judgment, first off of yourself, and second off of the attachment that, you know, can we see in other people. I mean, it's always very easy to see the problems that other people are having. So when, especially if it's a loved one, doing something we don't approve of, you have choice. You can either dive into it and take their choice away, which ultimately, taking their choice away does not allow them to realize on their own that it's not a good choice. Or we can simply accept that their choice is their choice. And you can support it. You can, however you feel about prayer or positive thought or sending them good vibes, you can do that. And in the end, they get to choose what it is that they want. If it's a lifestyle choice or a pattern that really doesn't serve them, ultimately they'll figure it out. And maybe, you know, there's the phrase hitting rock bottom. Maybe they need to do that in order to be able to realize, wow, this really is not the choice I want. And then at that point, they reach out and say, can you help me to work with this? And the trick is to find out what is the best way to do that from them. Let that person tell you, okay, this is what I need to help me to be able to work with this in a better way and to live my life in a better way. And if it turns out that they really need counseling to be able to encourage them to seek that out, while at the same time you say, okay, if this is what you want to do, I will help you if you want to work through this. If not, I care about you, I love you, and I will not participate. I will not engage in this. I will not encourage it. So by allowing them to deal with the consequences of what they want without judgment, you know, because it's not about who they are, it's about what they do and the choices they make. And sometimes it is a very powerful thing to just say, you know what, I'm not going to go there with you. And you can let me know when you're ready to make a change in your life. And it is a very hard conversation to have, especially with a loved one. And if you were on the other side of it, at least I know if I were on the other side of it, I would appreciate that a whole lot. Because when you're the one with the pattern or choice that maybe others don't think is a really great choice for you. Now, it could be that they're wrong. It could be that, you know, this is actually a really good choice. And you may have to be able to have the conversation from your end saying, you know what, I really appreciate that you care about me. I really appreciate that you love me as much as you do, that you really want to be honest with me. And this choice is mine, and I am not, at this point, interested in changing it. And if you feel that you can't be around me, you know, under these circumstances, I understand that we can be able to change our relationship or, you know, give it a break for a while. It is really empowering to be able to have choice. And ultimately, your choice as to what is right for you is completely yours to make. And no one has the right to take that choice away from you. And it's always good to reevaluate. If you've got a bunch of people around you saying, you know, really, this is not a good thing, maybe you need to listen to them. Maybe you need to take a look at, okay, how is my choice affecting the people around me, the people who I love, who I know love me? Is this something that I need to take another look at? And if you take another look at it and go, you know what, this is just me, and this is how I want to walk in this world, then, you know, deal with the fact that you may not have the closeness that you did. But that doesn't mean that the love goes. We each need to be ourselves, and sometimes it can take an entire lifetime to figure out what that means. And it's a lot harder to figure that out when there's all these negative things being attached to it. If you really want to live your life in a particular way, that means that you choose how you live your life, and it means that you accept that there are always going to be people who don't agree with it. They do not have the right to judge you. As we do not have the right, honestly, we don't have the right to judge ourselves on it. We should be giving ourselves unconditional love and acceptance, because that's a good vote to listen to on your council. Fear is going to always vote that the only way we can be safe is to stay in the little box and do what everybody says and to not risk anything. And while that is a way to live your life, it certainly is not an enjoyable one. Risk is a part of the fun. Risk is a part of what lets us move forward. If we never risk anything, we'd never get anywhere. And by allowing that, you're going to make mistakes. Oh my gosh, we all are, and we all do. And those mistakes are part of the reason that we learn. In fact, they're the major reason that we learn. How can we figure out how we want to walk in this world if we don't go through phases of experiencing how we don't want to walk in this world? So give yourself a break. Lighten up. Allow yourself to just be, without approval, disapproval, or anything. Because when it comes down to it, if we can make it through this world, doing a few good things, making a few people smile along the way, and feeling happy, not so bad. Let go of what doesn't serve you, because we're all about moving forward. And what doesn't serve you only holds you back. So thank you for joining me for another Thursday. If you'd like to know more about me, you can contact me through my website at www.the-healing-house.com. And in the meantime, I wish you balance, and I wish you blessing. I wish you a life without judgment or attachments that don't serve you. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. Take care.